Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Recreation Committee meeting. Monday, August 6th, 2018, 8:30 a.m. Item number one is the approval of the minutes of the July 2 meeting.
Move for approval.
Second. Any discussion? All in favor, please say aye. Aye. All opposed? Ayes have it. Public comment period is number two. Anybody has anything they'd like to say or address before we get going? I see we have some new folks in the audience there. Is there any particular item y'all came for, or?
The Harper's Heroes Tournament.
Okay, good. All right, thanks. All right, so if nobody has anything to say, we'll move on. Item number three, facility rental and fee waiver requests. Steve?
Very good. Good morning.
Good morning.
We have two requests this morning, the first being for the third annual Harper's Heroes Charity Softball Tournament at the Jimmy Signius Fields on October 20th. There is a group that you, I believe you received the request letter. Mm-hmm. This is a request to host the tournament, to raise money, to donate all the proceeds to the MUSC Foundation named the Pediatric Neuroscience Research Fund. This is the third year that they're requesting that, this tournament, and it's worked out very well. We've been happy to facilitate it in order to accommodate the raising of funds for that charity. We have Jenna Brown here today to represent the charity, and if you have any questions, she can tell you a little bit more about it. It is to raise money for Neuroscience Research Fund. And the Harper, the young lady that's over here, she was diagnosed with spina bifida. Spina bifida. And she has had tremendous assistance through the university medical center, and she would like to continue to raise money for research in that area. So if you have any questions.
Good. Would you like to get up and say something? I'll give you 2 minutes to tell us a little bit about it. You have to come to the podium, though, because you got to say your name and address for the record. She's a cutie.
My name is Jenna Brown. It's 1717 Indigo Island Drive in Hanahan, 29410. So 3.5 years ago, I stood before the board pregnant with Harper. She had been diagnosed with the most severe form of spina bifida. We were told she would never walk and that she would have to have several surgeries within the first year of life. So our community and our family actually wanted to throw this tournament to raise money for us. We pushed it back, and Harper was such a miracle when she was born that we were asked to be a campaign family for this research fund. And so I throw events and fundraisers to raise money for awareness. It benefits children with neurological disorders such as brain tumors, epilepsy, hydrocephalus, spina bifida. And this is just one of the fundraisers that we host annually. And you can actually watch her story. MUSC filmed a documentary on our story. If you go to musc.edu and you type in the search engine Harper's story, you can watch our story.
Oh, cool.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Coach?
A couple of questions, and it may not, I'm sorry, not for you. It may go into the other ones. It's common for people to ask for facilities. You make decisions, you make recommendations, and it comes to us. To make it easier, mm-hmm. Would it be easier for you if we gave you authority to certain limits to do this without coming to us, or is it better to bring every one of these to us? Because I don't know what the criteria is. We're never going to beat that story, ever,
right.
Ever. But when do we say, have we ever said no?
There have been some requests that they've maybe done a reduced price or something like that.
Yeah.
They always pay the cost for staffing and
right.
That sort of
sure.
associated stuff
sure.
like that. But for the most part, the answer has usually been yes.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too.
Right.
So, you know,
we've done a lot throughout the years.
It should.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm not in any way against this. I'm just saying administratively, you know, you guys know what you're doing. I mean, you ought to be able to at some point say, I mean, it's nice for us to know, you know, what we're helping out and all, but I don't want to be the guy to tell anybody no unless there's criteria set up, but you know them, you know, and I think, not for today, okay, but thinking about in the future, maybe, you know, if it meets this, you just inform us and it goes through. That's just a thought.
Okay. Less government.
Do we need do we need a motion for this, or do we wait till the end of both of these?
I think usually you do them independently.
Okay, I move to approve this request.
I second. All right. Any further discussion? All in favor, please say aye. Aye. All opposed? Ayes have it. Good luck. Congratulations. Bye. Nice to meet you. All right. Item B is Wando Young Life, Park West Pavilion, September 2018 and May 2019. And Young Life, what was that, Wildlife Club, Jones Center, Multipurpose Room, September 2018 to May 2019.
That is correct. Both of these organizations, it's all under the umbrella of Young Life Charleston. There's two different clubs. Wildlife is the middle school age branch of Young Life, and the regular Wando Young Life Club is the high school level. The both portions of the organization have used town facilities for about the last 5 years, using the Jones Center, multi-purpose room, and the Park West Lake Pavilion over there. They're requesting fee waivers for both. They have in the past covered the staffing cost for the Jones Center, because we do not have staffing costs at the Park West Pavilion. However, at the Jones Center, we make sure that we have a facility supervisor there present, you know, during their rental, and they cover that expense for that. But they've been good stewards of the facilities. They take care of it. They clean up after themselves. If there has ever been anything that's been damaged or anything like that, they've always taken care of that.
Good. Is anybody here from Young Life? I figured that was you. Yes. You want to get up and give me 2 minutes and just tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. My name is Neil Gardner. I live at 726 Spark Street, Mount Pleasant, 29464. And I'm the director for Charleston Young Life as a whole. And so we have 14 schools around Charleston, and it's basically just college age or older leaders going into the lives of high school kids. And we care about kids. And so here in Mount Pleasant, I lead at Wando High School, and I coach soccer over there. I'm an assistant varsity soccer coach. And we use these meetings, we try to do them at third-party sites. It's a religious organization designed to care for kids, but we like to do them not at a church, because there's some kids that would maybe be interested in this but would never step into a church. And so that's why we try to have them kind of at neutral places and whatnot. And so we sing some songs and play some games, and then at the end, one of those leaders who are college age or older gets up and gives a talk, and then we get out of there. Each one's about an hour, and it's been great over the last couple of years. It's been a huge blessing, and hopefully that continues.
Good. I'll vote for approval.
All right. Second. Any further discussion? All in favor, please say aye. Aye. All opposed? You got it. Good luck.
Appreciate it, gentlemen.
All right.
Can I ask one more question to Steve before we go?
Sure.
So you probably get some requests that you don't even bring to us, right?
Most of the time, I usually bring a request to them, unless there is something that is specifically a problem with the rental. Certainly, if it's a conflict in the availability of the facility.
It would help us if beforehand we knew whether you recommended this or not.
Okay.
Okay. Right. Thanks.
You can put that, you know, like on our papers that we get.
Okay.
Friday. Okay. All right. Item number four is discussion regarding artificial turf fields and Seaman and Whiteside's presentations of cost analysis.
We at the last committee meeting, we just had discussion of the artificial turf for Carolina Park, or another location, a future location for a turf field here in the town. And we wanted to come back. I believe it was Councilwoman Whitley had specifically asked, wanting to know comparison between what it would take for a natural grass field and an artificial turf field. So we go into the discussion with an understanding of what we were obligating ourselves for. We had contracted with Seaman Whitesides, who has done phase one at Carolina Park, is doing phase two, and is beginning the design work for phase three of Carolina Park as well. So they were a natural fit to be able to do this cost analysis because it makes a difference as far as where you're doing in the specific location and where you would be constructing something. So we asked them to put together a more detailed cost analysis for the construction of a artificial turf field as compared to a natural grass field. And with that, I have Lee Gasly. I'm going to pop it up on the screen for you here.
Welcome, Lee. Name and address for the record. You know the routine.
Lee Gasly, Seaman Whiteside and Associates, 1881 Capri Drive, Charleston County.
Lee, are you going to tell us that artificial turf costs more than grass?
I'm done. Yes, I am. A little bit more. Okay, well, you know, one thing this is not, these are not bids, and these are not an evaluation in great detail of different types of synthetic turf systems, because there's all sorts of synthetic turf systems. So basically what we did is we selected two turf products, a Grastex AT740 and a Shaw Sports product called Momentum. And then, of course, compared those against natural turf, basically Celebration Bermuda Field. We established five criteria for the evaluation, and I guess I should say this. Items that were similar to both a natural turf field and a synthetic turf field, such as like lighting or a certain amount of fill material to get to a subgrade level or connection into a surrounding drainage system, we didn't count that. Those would be the same for any. We just counted the differences between them. So we established five criteria: the subsurface base preparation, subsurface drainage, sport surface materials, and then basically we've kind of got a sum for that to give you a square foot cost of the kind of the profile of the product. And then we've got two more criteria, which was subgrade preparation and then miscellaneous items. So basically, I mean, we can go into the detail of all of these, but the major differences between the synthetic turf A, which is a Grastex product, and the Momentum product, the Grastex product does not use an infill, which most synthetic turf products do. Grastex actually has a foam mat on the bottom that takes the place of that shock pad that you see in a lot of them, and they don't have the either rubber or geofill or sand as an infill. So that's one difference. Another difference between the two is the amount of base material that they require under them. The Shaw product requires basically 6 inches of aggregate. The Grastex product requires about 4 inches of aggregate. The Shaw product and most synthetic turf products require a kind of a border, a concrete border around the perimeter to affix it to. The Grastex product does not. They are very comfortable just using a nailing board. So those are kind of some major differences between the two, and they do affect the cost between them as well. We looked at basically utilizing the same size field as the other soccer fields out at Carolina Park. They're 65 yards wide by 120 yards long, and we do have a 10-foot apron around them. So that was the calculation that gives us 81,700 square feet of surface. So basically, if you go down through the categories, the synthetic turf A and synthetic turf B, you come out with about an $8.16 a square foot cost for the Grastex, about $9.11 for the Shaw, and $2.90 for natural turf. So basically, the natural turf costs are primarily in the growing medium. And I know that we've done some Cambridge systems, or the town has done some Cambridge systems on some of the existing fields. The goal here would be to bring in ideal material from day one. 1 foot of good, free-draining, amended soil instead of just kind of average fill that's going to get compacted over time. So, you know, that's a big ticket item for the natural turf field. Also, the irrigation system's a little bit more, and we still have over $75,000 worth of underdrain associated with the field. And we've shown it as a sodded field as opposed to a sprigged field. Certainly, if it was sprigged, it would be less. It would probably be about $35,000 or so less. But for the purposes of this comparison, we said we were going to sod it. So basically, 816, 911, and 290. Now, we'll say one other thing. We were able to acquire a summary of the new Wando Beckham field that's close to being complete, pretty darn close. They had Field Turf, Medallion, which is a Shaw product, a product called Sprint Turf, and AstroTurf. Those were the four products that bid that. And their unit prices were $8.90 for Field Turf, $9.10 for the Shaw, $7.61 for Sprint Turf, and the AstroTurf was $9.06. So they... a little bit of a range right there. And again, if you compare that to our numbers, we're right in that same category. We're at 816 and 911. The last two categories that we compared were subgrade preparation. And again, depending on how much rock the different product needed, they would need possibly more or less additional fill material to get them to the appropriate grade for playing. And then lastly, miscellaneous. Irrigation system, basically both systems recommended that there be irrigation, again, just because of the heat buildup that you can have with synthetic turf, especially here in the South. So it's not as much as a natural turf irrigation system, because all we're concerned with is basically getting the surface wet. We're not looking for head-to-head coverage trying to grow grass, so the grass price for irrigation is more expensive. Also, with the synthetic turf, we want to protect that. So we've got a fence, a 6-foot black vinyl coated chain link fence around both of the products. That's an additional $23,000. And then, of course, there's some gates to get into it, maintenance gates and pedestrian gates. So at the end of the exercise, basically what we were looking at, and again, we put a 10% contingency. I mean, it could be 5%. I mean, you can play with the numbers any way you want to. But we use 10%. So what we're getting at the end of the day, basically, is the Grastex product, about $814,000 for the field. The Shaw product, $887,000, almost $888,000. And then the grass field, about $306,000. So it's about 2.6 times more expensive on the capital outlay initially for the synthetic turf field versus a natural turf field. And then we've got the respective unit prices associated with each one below. So I'm glad to answer any questions you may have.
Yeah, I had a question. The Cambridge drainage system, is that calculated in there as well for the grass?
Specifically not, because Cambridge is more kind of coming after the fact and correcting a heavily compacted field. So, as I mentioned, what we're doing now is we're bringing in good free-draining amended soil from the get-go, and we're doing a one-foot profile of it. And we still have over $75,000 worth of regular drainage in the field. I think the Cambridge system's around $75,000, and then there's another 20 to 22 for the sand slit component
injection
of it as well. We don't think that we would need all of that if we're bringing in good material right from day one.
So you look, I mean, if we were to put it Cambridge in there, it'd be about 90,000, 90,000,
95,000. Correct, yes.
I mean, that seems like we're doing to a lot of our fields of putting the Cambridge in because of the rain, right?
We have put Cambridge in a lot of the fields that are, we haven't put it in like Moultrie or Town Hall Field because they drain wonderfully.
They were built the
They were built the right way. Yeah. And that's what Mr. Gasly is suggesting, that this would be built the correct way and wouldn't need the additional Cambridge drainage. The other fields that were built with the lesser soil do require the Cambridge and has been extremely successful.
The problem with building them the way they're built now, from what I'm hearing from the coaches, is the crest. Is playing soccer or you know, when the field is slanted a certain way, they like it to be flat so that they, I guess, it's a truer motion for the ball. Right. Have you all heard that?
I have not, but that certainly makes sense. Yeah. Sure, on a soccer field as opposed to a football field.
That would be a concern for me out there. If we're going to have soccer out there, these kids are going to be going to Wando, most of them. Wando's now got the turf fields. Mm-hmm. And so If they're playing on grass and they're going to turf next year, they're going to have to learn how to play on turf while they're out there at Wando. You know, the idea I had was if we had that turf field, they, by the time they get to Wando, they're familiar with turf fields and they're used to playing on them, as one less thing they have to get used to. But I was just, you know, thinking about the cresting and the Cambridge. You know, I don't have to tell you about the rain we've had lately. I don't know if this is going to be a trend or what. I'm not sure about all this global warming and everything, but I do know it's raining a lot more now and a lot heavier. So I think we need to prepare, you know, for that and not react. So anyhow, Tom?
The prices, you know, I mean, if we were going to build these fields and look at them, it doesn't seem like it would make sense to pay twice as much more for something we wouldn't have to. But we're going to use them.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to use them a lot. And I'm not so sure that previous designs on fields were wrong. I think that previous designs on fields, after years and years of constant use, has created the compaction to make the drainage problem. So you bring in the new drainage system on some fields, and that helps. To me, this is right now we get to use fields for 10 months out of the year. To me, this is about being able to use fields 12 months out of the year,
mm-hmm.
And there's a cost for that, and I think that I don't want to get in anybody's business about rotation and all that other stuff. That's not what we do. But I do think that our citizens deserve a field for 12 months out of the year. And I keep using the word experiment. I think that we should try this in the town to try to take a look at it and see how we like it. There's not consensus on whether or not this is a good idea. Imagine that, government. You know, but I think that instead of saying, let's put 8 of them down or something like that, I say, let's just take a field and put some turf on it and let the rec department schedule it and see how it goes. So for me, the costs are always important, but to me, it's about use, you know, and being able to use it. I also am not sure why we... there's fencing costs in our other projects. They're just not individual fields. So we're thinking of, with a turf, we'll put one fence around just that field, and that's why the fence cost came in?
Correct. Basically, if you're spending that much for a field, you want to try to protect that investment as best you can to keep some yahoo from riding out there on a four-wheeler or whatever.
Right.
Lee, let me ask you a question. You mentioned Lucy Beckham Field.
Mm-hmm.
Is that going to be turf?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's synthetic turf.
I know that Wando Stadium out there is turf, but they're doing Lucy Beckham turf as well?
Well, I'm talking about the joint stadium, not the stadium that's currently old Wando. I'm talking about the combination stadium.
So Lucy Beckham is going to remain grass?
That's my understanding, but I don't know for sure about that.
Good. All right. I just want to – and now maintenance. Did you calculate maintenance into there?
Maintenance is not in this, but I mean, I've looked at two very good reports that Jody's done over the years, and I mean, I have no qualms with what was generated there. I think they're estimating about a $16,000 a year savings with a synthetic turf field over what they're spending for natural turf. And of course, he knows his numbers better than I do as far as what they're spending. So I mean, that certainly is savings. I think it's like you said. I mean, at the end of the day, it comes down to how do you price the value associated with that extra play and the ability to play on the surface all the time?
Right. I think that was 2016 numbers, right?
I believe it was about 14, 15 numbers.
2014, 15? Of course, I mean, they're probably a little bit higher right now.
Sure.
That's a big thing. The maintenance is a big thing because we could use our public services guys doing other things rather than cutting grass, you know, and fertilizing fields and watering fields and things like that. That's another thing, watering the fields, you know, on a constant basis. We're going to save money there as well. So I think we needed to have that in here, the total costs, including maintenance. Maintenance is going to, Maintenance is going to be a pretty big one, I think, because that's a yearly one. And, you know, if we're able to rent that field out like we do a lot of our other fields, there'll be revenue being generated from that field to help defray the cost as well. So I think that's what we need to look at as well. How much are we getting for our fields now when we rent them out? What did we do last year as far as how much money did we make off renting our fields? Let's look at the numbers and see how much we can generate, revenue we can generate as well to offset these costs. It's not just about the cost. I mean, it's about revenue as well, in my mind. Go ahead, Coach.
Eric, what do we do?
Sir?
What do we do? I mean, I think if it's
the desire of the Recreation Committee to pursue a turf field, I think we've talked in the past about the best location to be a Carolina Park because we're in the midst of a third phase. We're still in the midst of a second phase. We have a third phase budgeted and planned. I think if this is your desire, then we need to look at how we can incorporate it into that third phase, where to put it exactly, how it might operate, and if you want to pursue this, give us a month to bring that back to you, how it might look in that third phase.
Okay, so I think we want to pursue that. It would be fair for GM to be here during the final vote, but what would help us too is to know with this added cost what will be removed from that project budget. Have you done the estimated probable cost yet of that phase?
No, not yet.
Three.
Hmm. So then.
I think they have an established in-house budget for it, which I think should be enough to do what we're talking about doing out there. But we have not done a detailed cost estimate of phase three.
All right. Well, whatever you think then. Just if we could know something that we could then take to council.
Sure.
Because I think this committee at the end of the day is going to want to take something to council for a vote, and it will entail this element of the project, and based on your preliminary budget, what may have to come off as a result of that.
Okay.
And but I would urge you also to look at not just what is cut, but maybe how to value engineer some of it, how to maybe not cut at all, but some, or change the scope of some things. But I don't know. I just strongly think that this could be great for use. And I saw a lot of the emails that you wrote that were good, you know, to GM and all of us about use. And I think there'll be uses for this thing that we don't even know about yet right now in the future, and that could be really good. So,
yeah, I've already got a gentleman now that wants to come in and play over the summertime and offer clinics for the kids. I haven't been able to tell him anything yet, but they're already asking for it. So in addition to that, I'd like to get the updated cost of the maintenance, not 2014, 2015 numbers, but 2018, 2019. And also about the Cambridge, I'd like to at least get a cost on what that's going to be, because, you know, I just don't want us to build a field and go, okay, we need to put another Cambridge drainage system in, and that's going to be extra. I'd like to know in advance what that's going to be as well, because I think with the rain and all that we've got coming right now, it may need it. I'm not sure. Like I said, I'm talking to a coach. They don't like the crested fields playing soccer, because I guess, as you know, the ball will roll faster going either way or whatever. They want them more flat. So, but anyhow, Lee, I think that's it for you.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Sure, thanks.
Sir, you wanted to get up and speak? You can come up. I'll give you 2 minutes. Come on up and talk to us. I need to get your name and address for the record. Sorry.
My name is John Neer. I live at 3694 Waldove Court in Carolina Park. I'm either way on the fields, but I think you mentioned it after the fact, which is the operations cost, and then also maybe seeing the numbers in a per month usage, because that hits then the extra 2 months that you have. So if you get 2 months more usage out of it, that'll affect how people look at the cost per month of usage. The natural grass will then look a little bit more expensive because you are going to be able to use the artificial for those 2 months of the year. So it might just help giving apples to apples rather than saying, well, this one we can use a little bit more, or these two a little more, and this natural a little less. But you kind of hit on that.
Can you tell him, because the gentleman mentioned your name, the one that came to me about the soccer and wanting to do clinics for the kids.
Sure.
Can you just tell him who that is? I forgot.
Alan Bedore, he's a coach for a team called Low Country United, which is a kind of semi-pro team, but they kind of fit the niche. I believe they play in the U.S. NPSL, which is kind of an amateur league within the rank system of U.S. soccer, and they made it to the finals against a team from Canada this year. Real well run. The mission of that club, and I'm not a spokesperson for this club, so
right.
I've never attended a game, but I follow them. So their mission is to work within the communities. They have folks that are within the Charleston County community that play for the team at varying levels, but he was looking for a way to kind of give back to the community in exchange for potentially some presence on fields. And one of those things is giving clinics to the kids in the community. So it's something that you certainly can kind of use to weigh what are the cost benefits of having more field availability.
Right. Thank you very much. I'm glad you came because I saw your name on the email, so thanks. Okay.
Yeah, I worry that we're going to, like, financially analyze this thing to death. And I also think that you're going to create a discussion at the council level that's going to make us throw up. I'm sorry. It's, again, you know, we could have said outside. We could have compared the cost of a two gym outdoor gym or that. We could have done that. Yeah. And it would have been a lot cheaper to have a nice little roof, you know, and not had any air conditioning and all that. It would have been a lot better. What are we doing? Do we want to do this or do we not want to do it? And it's going to cost money. If we're trying to justify the fact that this is not going to cost more, then we're lying. Because it's going to cost more. Suck it up, deal with it, and move forward. And if we have five people on council that want to do it, we do it.
Well, it's the same as the track. I don't remember, Eric, I think you were here back when we were doing the track. I had people that were complaining about the cost. Oh, my God, a rubber track, NCAA-approved track. You know, it's too much. We have a track down here. You know, and it was a battle. It was a battle, but we did it. And that was a $1.2 million track. Since that time, I think our track team has won the state championship every year we've had the track. In fact, we just had a gentleman from Mexico set the state record in the 800 and the national record in Mexico in the 800 on that track. And that track has been used by the citizens for health reasons. And it's been used a lot. The pool was the same thing back in the late 90s. They didn't want a pool out there. And we fought to get a pool. And so they gave us a 25-yard pool. Instead of one, a 25-meter that we could actually, you know, use and have tournaments and bring revenue in to help pay for some of that infrastructure. So we've been through this fight before. We've heard the same thing before. It costs too much. But we've been very successful. And every one of the ones we've done that we heard all this, we've been very successful. And so I fully believe we'll be very successful with the turf field. So
I think we have, you got some direction?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. And then we'll just do that next.
Correct.
Next meeting.
Yes.
All right, good. That's good.
All right. Go to the next item. Discussion of the Mount Pleasant Recreation Foundation.
Yeah, this is me. I'm sorry. I asked to bring this up. You know, I wear two hats. I wear a lot of hats in the town, but the two biggest hats are finance and recreation right now. And I always have my eye on finance. I also know that philanthropy done right can get you an awful lot of money for more than scholarships for kids to play a sport. I'm talking about building facilities. I'm talking about a lot of things like that. There is money out there. But right now, the foundation that you started, I think, is it's not dead, but it's sort of like stagnant right now. And what I would like to do in front of Steve and his staff is just talk about whether or not there's a desire to look at bringing that back in some way. The scary thing about nonprofit is you don't have any control. You're going to want control. So creating I haven't seen the bylaws. I haven't seen anything. But creating bylaws so that you have control, I think, is very important. But with a separate nonprofit, there's a separate board out there acting. And if I were you, that would make me a little bit nervous, unless my bylaws made sure that all of their work, all the benefits of their work, were coming back to you in the manner in which you want it. In fact, I think it's not unfair for you to sit on that board to let them know what your goals are. They should be asking you, what do you want? And you're going to say, you know what? O'Rourke's an idiot, and he keeps sticking turf fields down my throat. Can we raise $1 million and do that? And there, honestly, seriously, there are people in this town with money and tax problems. And when you can explain tax credits to people like that, you really can get some money. When you sell what this is all about, you know, the wholesome, great things that you're doing. So I think today is step one discussion, and you can say, you don't have to say it in the minutes, but you can call me later and say, we don't want to do this, you know, and I'll back off. But I think it's a way for you to get some stuff you want without having to deal with the budget and us having to deal with police and fire and everybody else, and really look at a way to create a group of people in this community, smart people that'll go out there and raise the funds for the stuff that you want. So that's just my thought right now. We have it there, sitting there, totally inactive. And it was set up for good purposes as far as creating funds so that we don't go backwards financially if people wanna do certain things. Right. And I mean, so much you could do. And if we could just dump money on your desk, you know? And that's what I think this is about. So.
I think it's good discussion. Yeah, we were able to do some things with it. I remember the cage basketball courts. We put in a lot of money into that and got that all fixed up for them. So there is some infrastructure things that we can do for recreation through, you know, a 501c3.
I think the best way to do this right now, if this is okay, is just let us throw this on your lap. Right now, we don't need a vote. We don't need, I mean, you can comment, but you don't need to. And then maybe between now and next month, you can just let us know whether or not you and your staff want to do it, think it's a good idea, think we should wait, you know, whatever like that. So, or if you have any questions, you know, I right now, my job, I used to be the executive director of Charleston County Parks. I'm not done there till March 17th, but for the last 10 years I've run that foundation, and that so I'm doing that now with our foundation. And you know, we're building swimming pools, we're doing a lot of things with philanthropic money. And I think there's people here in this community that would be willing to give for great causes.
I certainly would love to be able to find other sources of revenue to be able to do things that we'd like to be able to offer our community, and I don't know how that all works with the foundation. I don't know much of the details of the foundation that's been established already, and what bylaws that exist.
Yeah, there has to be. It's set right. up. It's a separate right. 501c3 right. Nonprofit, mm-hmm. but it's inactive right now.
Okay,
and it can easily be active, I believe. But I think, well, if this is something you want to pursue, it doesn't even have to be like, take a year to do it. I don't care. But get your staff together and figure out, you know, how is this going to work? And then the biggest deal is getting the bylaws right where you want them. And then creating a board of people that you pick, you know, so that you make sure you've got the right people that are there to help you with things like that. So.
All right.
Thanks.
Anything else? Okay, we've got number six is program and projects update. I see again we're up in everything except tennis from last year.
My project update got stuck to another paperclip. I couldn't find it there for a moment. So We are. Our registration numbers have just been very, very strong. You can see each one of the youth sports, adult sports, we're doing very, very strong on that. I do want to point out that, they were back, this is a July report, July 5th through 8th, the track team had 9 regional champs at the regional track meet in Rome, Georgia, and 43 athletes qualified for the national meet in Greensboro, North Carolina. Swimming lessons, senior center membership, the whole program, everything's going very, very well. You can see our summer camps, we had a fantastic summer camp. I mean, we had more, we're just winding up, I believe next week will be at the end of our camps, and 2,300 camps compared to 2,300 participants in 92 camps compared to 87 camps last year. It's really, really improved, doing very, very well. I also want to point out we had a annual membership appreciation day at the Senior Center last 2 weeks ago. That was a lot of fun. I got a chance to go over there and cook some hot dogs over there. It was an opportunity to cook some hot dogs and say hello and thank you to a bunch of the members that are over there. Our farmers market continues to do very well. An upcoming event in August, we have the Movies in the Park that are going to be going every Friday. And this Friday, we're going to be having the special celebration recognizing the All-American Award, so All-American City Award. So we're very excited about that. I also wanted to point out a couple things. There was not a CAP meeting. Usually we include some information here about CAP, but we didn't have that in the report. But a couple things that have been going on. We've been working with transportation. That's a cultural arts and pride.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry. I said that. I was like, But we're working with DOT and trying to put the first sculpture in the roundabout at Mathis Ferry Road. It'll be a nice sculpture over there. Two new sculptures have been added to the Pocket Park on Coleman. They'll be in place there till next summer. We are sending out calls for submissions for the next round of traffic box art installation. That has been very, very popular. That's been an award-winning program that we've done, and we're starting our next round of that. 14, we're going to town center, they're going to be installing It's Raining Art. I think I may have explained that to you before. That's the one where they put poetry or a music line from a song or something like that in invisible ink, basically on the pavement. And when it rains, it comes out and shows up over there. Town center has really embraced that. We'll be doing 14 new ones over there and with submissions from Wando High School students and a Jenny Moore student that are providing submissions for the poetry to go there. And they have, CAP has also been working with Councilwoman Whitley on the design and mold for a fiberglass sculpture art project going throughout the town. I believe is it a shrimp boat that we're going with now? Is that?
I'm talking about different ideas. That's
the latest thought right now, possibly a shrimp boat type of thing that would go in a fiberglass thing and be painted and decorated in different areas of the town. So. That's our project update.
I just wanted to further say something about the track program. Tammy has done a fantastic job. And a lot of people don't know that when Wando started building their stadium, they didn't have a track. So we offered Wando the use of our track to get ready for track season. Well, lo and behold, Wando used one side of the track, and our teams used the other side of the track. So they had half a track to practice on. Wando boys and girls won the state championship, and then you just heard him, Tammy and our track team won the state championship and went on to the nationals. 3 state champions working off of a half a track. That's unbelievable. I mean, I'll tell you, when I heard that, I just couldn't believe it, but it just goes to show the kind of programs that we're putting forth because most of our kids go up into Wando, and so I was very proud of them for that. So anyhow, I just thought that was a great idea. The track has really done well for all these years. It's really produced some excellent athletes.
It has. Mm-hmm. It has. And I just did want to mention also, we have the project right out the door over here, and it's moving along. We're progressing on that. It's neat to be able to see the stairs in there. We got the second floor happening over there now over the lobby area. The roof decking is on. It's progressing. So
I'm looking forward to
that
it.
That looks really great. I think that's going to be a parking nightmare, but that's just me.
All righty. If there's nothing else,
there's nothing
we're adjourned.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you, sir.
I love that.